Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts College Football Podcast, your ticket to all things college football. Are you looking to get your college football fix? Looking to get the latest news on your favorite school's team? Join us as we talk college football from the national championship to college rivalries to bowl games to the Heisman Trophy to which conference is the best. We've got you covered for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12. ACC, and everything in between.
What is up? Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast on a Monday today here. My name is Tom Doherty, your host. This is the college football edition of the GSMC Football Podcast, which, as always, is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. As we come off the weekend where everything kind of came to light, I don't know about everything, obviously. At least everything came to light as far as what the investigation is going to look like. We talked about on Friday who the panel of people will be. It's going to be, I think, three representatives from the university or from Ohio State University. And then also they got three other representatives that were from not from the university to be part of this panel to investigate Urban Meyer and his whatever he had to do with this issue that happened. And of course, since we've last talked, Zach Smith went and opened his mouth and got interviewed. And then we got, of course, he comes and says, or I talked to Urban about the 2015 incident. He knew about the 2009 incident. We talked about that already. We talked about the 2009 incident. We talked about that on Friday. But this 2015 incident, of course, once Zach Smith goes and says, yeah, we talked about it. We talked about trying to, our game plan on denying it, basically. And then, of course, Urban Meyer has to come out and say, oh, wait. That question you guys asked me back on July 24th at the Big Ten Media Days, I didn't answer that correctly. Sorry. I wasn't prepared to answer the question, and I did not answer it correctly, and he quote-unquote failed at answering the question. Okay, so you're going to recant that statement, and you're going to say you knew about it the whole time, and now you're going to say you handled of course, he's come out again and said, since Zach Smith said, pretty much laid it all out that they were in, I'm not saying anything about cahoots or anything like that, laid it all out that they were in conversation with each other regarding the incident in 2015, not in 2009, back at Florida, but no, the one from 3 years ago, from when she kicked out the girl that he wanted to let stay over at their house after she broke up with her boy or something happened, and Zach Smith brought a girl over and his wife said, no, she's not staying here. And then she drove her home, came back, and Zach Smith did what he did. And that's that. I mean, that's of course what Courtney Smith is saying and said in her interview last week. So that was with the stadium. Whatever, I think it's a publication. So, yeah, of course, Urban Meyer then is just called on the carpet after the fact, and is like, "Oh yeah, no, I handled that situation at the, I followed the protocol to the T regarding." So, are you basically passing the buck on to your AD, to your compliance department, to your other any other departments that would handle disciplinary action for your coaching staff? And I mean, the whole thing is interesting because Zach Smith ain't no like guru offensive coordinator. He's not a quarterback whisperer. He's not a defensive guy. He's a wide receivers coach. And I mean, he must be the best wide receivers coach you've ever seen, because the fact that he still was on had a job for Urban Meyer back in Florida after the 2009 incident that Courtney Smith, where she was actually, well, she came out and said it after the fact. I mean, we don't know how truthful it really all is, but after the fact, she did come out and say that she was, I don't want to use the word coerced has a negative connotation to it, but I mean, she was convinced to not press charges or to not go forward with the charges that she had pressed. Actually, she did press charges initially in 2009, and then she dropped them after Zach Smith's grandfather, Bruce, one of the old coaches at Ohio State, and then also a confidant of Urban Meyer, came to her and basically told her to stop, just drop the charges, do whatever we need to do to get this past us. And you know, that's kind of what they did, I guess. And then, or of course, when you don't handle things out the right way the first time, things happen again. And of course, it was 6 years later when it happened again, and I'm sure there was things in between. And we've already heard things, reports saying that that she's had the cops be involved in domestic violence, or they had disturbance calls multiple times in this time since then. And then, of course, the last straw is Zach Smith violating a protection order put in place or granted by a judge for Courtney Smith, and then he violates that within seemingly hours of it being put in place, and then he is relieved of his duties at Ohio State, fired by Urban Meyer. And why he wasn't, I mean, it's crazy. Number one, he wasn't fired at Florida for what he did in 2009. Then he was hired again when Urban Meyer gets the job at Ohio State. I'm saying, I'm like, he must be like, is he like some savant with wide receivers or something like that? I'm like, look at the, I'm sorry, I don't want to put place judgment on a dude just by looking at him, but I don't know. It's just, he must be one of the best. I mean, it's a wide receivers coach. A wide receivers coach, really? Like passing game coordinator, quarterback coach, maybe your quarterback, if you have a really good guy who's going to be a good quarterback whisperer or something like that. Nope. He was a wide receivers coach. It doesn't make any sense. And now we've come to this point where Urban Meyer has been, oh, no, I did everything right in 2015. I followed protocol. It was all good. Well, obviously, Courtney Smith thinks otherwise. Obviously coming out and saying that you knew about it and nothing was done. But then also this can point at something bigger. This investigation is far from over. They've come out yesterday and said it's going to take 14 days for this investigation to run its course and then finally come to a conclusion. So we have to wait 2 weeks, basically, until we're going to hear anything. And whether it's going to be Urban Meyer getting called out or it's going to be Gene Smith getting called out, that's the AD of Ohio State University. So he's the athletic director. And, I mean, if you believe Urban Meyer, and you believe that he said, well, I went by the protocol, I followed all the rules and everything, I just failed in answering the question on July 24th, then that points at something a little more systemic. That points at something that could be maybe a little bit more involved with the higher ups of this in this organization in Ohio State. The fact that they didn't investigate it initially back in 2015. And nothing came of it, and no question was asked to Courtney Smith. They didn't even talk to her, allegedly, they didn't even talk to her during that investigation. That could point at something that maybe be higher up, where Urban Meyer did everything that he possibly could. Shelley Meyer went and told him about what's happening. He went and did everything he could regarding it. And, I mean, whether it was Zach Smith getting into his office and getting in his ear and saying, I didn't do this, I didn't do this, I didn't do this, and really playing the whole denial game of it, but then now Urban's got his wife, who was told by the wife of his coach. So, I mean, it's definitely an interesting dynamic. You got to basically, I don't know whether they have a buddy-buddy relationship or if it's a really an employee-to-boss relationship. It seems like they have more of a family-style buddy-buddy relationship where, oh, Shelly is telling me that you did this to Courtney, but what's going on here? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, I didn't. They're lying. The girls are going to be whatever. Like, you can bring up, I can imagine so many different excuses from that guy. It's ridiculous. So you're going to really call the coach's wife a liar? Or you're going to call your own wife a liar for telling the coach's wife that? And then, of course, she's just passing on information. So what is it? You're going to play this hard denial game. And you're going to really put everything on the table and make your head coach that you've been with for years defend you, or I mean, do whatever they need to do. I mean, cover up is it keeps point. It points at cover up. Whoever was the instillment of it, whoever was the executor of it, I don't know. But it's pointing towards cover up always. And if it ends up in Urban Meyer losing his job, then so be it. And so be it. Bob Stoops, wherever you are, you might get a phone call from Ohio State. You might have to come out of retirement, buddy, because that's a good program right there. It's the second best program in the country right now. I bet you. And if you think Alabama is number one, and that's what it is. There you go. It's right there. It's all the players are. There's nothing wrong on the field. There's nothing wrong with the players. It's just the coach and the coaching staff and maybe even the athletic department as a whole. But there's nothing wrong with the players on the field. You can jump right in there, clean house, bring on your own dudes, and win some football games. I mean, really. And then you could do it at two different schools. So, I mean, why wouldn't you want to do that if you're Bob Stoops? I mean, he left Ohio State. I mean, he left Oklahoma for a reason. So he left Oklahoma kind of suddenly. So maybe he just was done coaching. So that's why I was kind of thinking when I'm seeing all these reports out that he might be the next guy in Columbus. I'm like, didn't he just leave a good gig in Norman? Like, they were in the College Football Playoff last year, and he could have been that. He could have been there as head coach. So if he really wanted to coach a good program, he could have just stayed at Oklahoma, unless there was a situation where they think that they had a situation where maybe an athletic director comes to Bob Stoops and says, "Hey Bob, we think we might lose Lincoln. Coach Riley might go over to a different school if you don't step down right now, and we have to give him this head coaching job. He's ready." And then Bob Stoops said, "Okay, I'm ready to go. I'm ready too. Let's do this." So that could be a possibility too. But I mean, That's a whole different. I'm going on a tangent right now too regarding Bob Stoops and his job situation. But no, if he's willing to take up the old reins at Ohio State, I think he'd do just fine over there. But no, we got a couple weeks to figure this out, and the investigation, of course, a couple weeks, and then you got one more week, and then you got the season. So I mean, whether it's going to be I can't remember who is the interim head coach. I said it on the show on Friday. Who the interim head coach for Ohio State is, and that's going to be Ryan Day. That's right. Ryan Day is the interim head coach. So whether Ryan Day is going to just take over this rest of the season if Urban Meyer's let go on administrative leave. I mean, I know we talked about it on Friday how maybe this leave is for a buyout, but now we're kind of hearing more and more stuff. What happened since the last show actually I'm not saying it's going to help or hinder Urban Meyer, but it's not. It's definitely more positive for him than it is negative, I think, because you are finally coming out in front of it and saying, "Hey, I didn't answer this. I messed up. I didn't answer the question correctly on July 24th. And hey, I did this from the incident stemming in 2015. I followed protocol to the T." That's what he's saying. And of course, then he goes out on Twitter. And whether he did it or not, I'm not going to speculate onto really who was the one to put this thing together. But there was a very, very lengthy apology letter written that was signed by Urban Meyer. And I mean, I was kind of, when I first saw it, I'm like, that's like, "Coach, here, can you sign this, please?" Like, we wrote this. This was drafted for you. Can you sign this, please? Like, it's literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 paragraphs, or maybe 6 paragraphs and 2 sentences on capping off the paragraphs. I mean, I'm going to pull something out from here. This is what it's saying. "The power of what?" So this is one of his. This is one of his. This is from one. This is an excerpt from his. This letter that actually was. Well, I don't know. Was it written by him? Was it written? Not written by him. He signed it. I'm not really going to go into that. But here's what goes. "Here's the truth." Quote unquote, here's the truth. "While the University of Florida and now at the Ohio State University have always followed proper reporting protocols, procedures, and when I learned on the incident involving a student athlete, coach, or a member of our staff by evaluating or elevating the issues to proper channels, and I did so regarding the Zach Smith incident in 2015. There you go. I take that responsibility very seriously, and any suggestion to the contrary is simply false. The power of what I say and how I say it is especially regarding sensitive and serious domestic issues has never been more evident than now. My words, whether in a reply to a reporter's question or in addressing a personal issue, must be clear and compassionate and most of all, completely accurate. Unfortunately, at the Big Ten media days on July 24th, I failed on these fronts. My intention was not to say anything inaccurate or misleading. However, I was not adequately prepared to discuss these sensitive personnel issues with the media, and I apologize for the way I handled those questions. Well, we're going to take a break really quickly here and come back after the break, and I'll let you guys marinate that for a second before I go into my... I just thought about something that I hadn't thought about actually before the first few times I read that, and now they're reading it on the air. I'm like, interesting. So we'll have to look at it. We're going to talk about that on the other side. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast. The college football edition of this football podcast on a Monday today here as we're talking to Urban Meyer again, as we probably will be talking about him a little bit here and there throughout the rest of the week or the next couple weeks until, well, maybe this week. I'm not going to go too far into it. We're going to wait until everything more, we hear about it, and then, of course, when the findings and the results of the investigation are released, we will definitely be going into that here on the show because, I mean, it is fall practice. We have less than a month until the games start. Ohio State will be on the field on September 1st, I want to say, as I think they are going to be opening. They open up against Oregon State on September 1st. So, I mean, that game's not going to be that. I think Ryan Day can handle that one. I mean, I might be able to handle that one. No offense to Ohio State. I mean, Oregon State and Jonathan Smith, maybe he got something figured out in not one off season is a tall task, but, you know, it is what it is. All right, going back. And, okay, what I was saying, hopefully you marinated a little bit during the break there of what those two paragraphs I read from his statement. And going back and kind of giving you the one quote, one little sentence that kind of stuck out to me, and the one of them is So he says that he unfortunately failed on those fronts at the Big Ten media days. My intention was not to say anything inaccurate or misleading. Well, Urban, you said you want me to pull up the quote from that because it was pretty definite. I mean, I think, what did he say? I don't know anything. I don't know nothing, anything, nothing, zero, nothing. I mean, hold on. I'm trying to pull up the quote for here from what he said during the Big Ten media days. So here he said, I was never told about anything. Anything never came to light. Never had a conversation about it. So I know nothing about that. How many times did you say never or nothing? Never, one, two, three. Three times he said never. And nothing, anything, anything, nothing. All right. Just, so you said that. That was, and you basically a three-pronged no. Because you said, first you said, I was never told anything, number one. Nothing ever came to light, number two. Never had a conversation about it, number three. So I know nothing about it, number four. So four, actually. Four-pronged no response to that question. Instead of just saying, I'm not addressing that at this point. I'm not addressing that at this point. I'm aware of the allegations. I'm not addressing it at this point. I'm aware of this. No. He didn't say that. he didn't say anything about the sort of like where it goes to kind of hand in hand with the fact that, oh, I wasn't prepared for that question. I didn't answer it right. You literally flat out denied it. You deny it in three different ways. You said it wasn't talked about. You said it wasn't brought up at all, brought to light at all. And you also said, what was the first thing you said? I never told anything about it. So you there was no conversation. You were never told anything about it. And nothing ever came to light. False, false, false. Three different lies in one sentence, basically, because you did have a conversation about it with Zach Smith. You probably were told about it by your own wife, and you think it never came to light? The university did an investigation in 2015. So, yeah, were you called out like a little bit off guard maybe during the media day when you're in the middle of answering a million questions? I understand. I'll give him maybe a little teeny slice of the benefit of the doubt for that little reason, the fact that he's standing there for a while going through all these questions. But then after that, it's just like, no. Mm-mm. That's not the quote that you're supposed to say. You're supposed to pause and either deflect it, which everybody else does. Have you ever listened to a press conference by any politician? Just ridiculous. Because this isn't the first time. I mean, this isn't the first time, which is unfortunate because domestic violence is terrible. It's hard. Horrid. Hard and horrid. It's difficult. A thing that we have to deal with in this country and in the world. And when you have a coach who is a very high-profile coach who is in a position where he is supposed to do certain things, and apparently he says he did, this is after the fact, and then but before that is trying to deny, what are you doing? What's the MO here? Because you could have very easily said, we've heard it a million times, Urban, a million times, very easily said, I'm not commenting on that. I'm not going into that right now. No. You don't have to answer the question. Don't flat out deny it. It's like you were scared. It's like you're, they asked the question. Uh-oh. What am I going to do? No, you don't have to do that. Just calmly, collect yourself and deflect. It's not that difficult. Deflect. I've heard, hopefully, I mean, God forbid, you think he wasn't aware of Courtney Smith's statements on that day? No, because he was asked about it. The media was aware of it. A 2015 incident. I mean, if everything is true, that's a pretty scary thing to say. It's a scary thing to happen. She didn't throw a fit when he brought that girl home. I mean, maybe she. I'm not gonna speculate onto that. But she drove her home, according to the reports. Zach Smith brought a woman home who needed to stay there, apparently. Courtney was not having it. She drove her home instead of just kicking the girl out and we're calling her an Uber or something. She drove her home, drove back home. They got in an argument. And while her own children are clinging to her legs, Zach Smith's choking her against the wall. That's what she said. These are the allegations. This is her description of the story. If it is all true, that's pretty rough. That's pretty rough. And if you were Urban Meyer, and this isn't the first time, and he actually had charges pressed against him in 2009 when he was on your staff, what are you doing? That's just, I mean, I'm already finding faults here. What are you doing? I know that, there's been scenarios, we've had scenarios where women are going to push stories and expand the truth a little bit further than it should be. So, I mean, maybe he, I don't know. I'm not going to, I don't want to speculate anything. We're waiting these 2 weeks to figure out what this investigation can find. Unfortunately, the investigation is looking into what Urban Meyer's role was, it not whether Courtney Smith's comments to the media were accurate or what have you. I mean, they could be looking into that as well. But, I mean, it's kind of we're getting into a he said, she said scenario here where I bet you that's honestly what Urban Meyer was dealing with. In 2015, I'm sure that's exactly what he was dealing with. Whether he had any hard evidence or anything like that regarding a police report or some pictures that were taken. I know pictures were sent from Courtney Smith to Shelley Meyer. But then, of course, Shelley comes to Urban, and then Zach Smith comes to Urban. And he's got these opposing. He's got his own wife trying to push these pictures on him from the wife of the coach that's coming into his office denying everything. So I'm like, what do you do? I mean, I think that he probably just wanted to get it out of his hair. He probably wanted just to pass it up the flagpole, and then whatever came of it came of it. So I think that it's pointing at maybe some incompetence on his part from not listening to his wife, or whether we're seeing lies. There's a lot of things going on here. You could speculate very deeply. You could speculate on the fact that Gene Smith stopped it when it got to him. He's like, nah, I don't want to deal with this right now. Or this is not good for our program. We're going to keep this under wraps, and hopefully maybe 3 years from now, we won't have a scandal on our hands. Oh, but we do. That's possible. Courtney Smith obviously could be trying to get. I mean, the thing is, the only comparison I have to that, I'm like, oh, Courtney Smith could play trying to rip her husband down or something like that. Like, why would she do that? What is her reason for lying? There really isn't one. There are ones for, like, the comparison you could say is Reuben Foster. Reuben Foster got accused of doing all this stuff to his girlfriend and got arrested and then was going to probably get cut from the Niners and then went to trial. Never got cut by the Niners because they did their own investigation, and I bet you found out that his girlfriend got in a fight, got those bruises from the fight, and then also lied about everything that she said because she was trying to. She was pissed that he broke up with her, and she wanted to try and drag him down because he's a high profile athlete. Zach Smith is not a high profile athlete. He's a little wide receivers coach, yes, at a big university, but not a high profile athlete. Why would his wife ever try and, like, you know, unless she's some crazy vendetta or something like that? There's no reasoning right now to make me think of that speculatory reason for this to start. It's all going back to Ohio State. And if you go watch that Zach Smith interview, it's just kind of cringy. It is. He's cringy. His comments are cringy. And it's like, I don't want to listen to you anymore. It's kind of a situation where it's like, ew, why do you get an interview? You're a wife beater. Like, really? And even if 2015 never happened, 2009 happened. Charges were pressed. Police reports were filed. She could have got him. She could have took him down if she wanted to, but she got scared and she got pressured by powers that be from his family or from Urban Meyer's confidants or whatever it might be. She didn't. She dropped him because she was, I don't want to say coercion is a different word, but she was definitely persuaded to do so by others. So yeah, it is what it is, and that's another thing. How much is she exact? Because she could have just been like, oh, she may have not. She, you never know. 2009, she may have had her own thoughts about dropping the charges. We don't know how gung ho she was on trying to go push these charges across and try and get him get a court date going and, you know, trial, or at least, you know, get him in jail or some sort. We don't know how gung-ho she was. It may not have taken that much convincing. But then, of course, in her interview with the stadium, when she comes out and does that interview, she's going to make it sound like that, oh, I was totally going to do it. I was convinced otherwise by the powers that be, by these guys that came to me. We talked about it on Friday about who came and did that. But, you know, it's interesting. It's very interesting, kind of the whole scenario about who do you want to believe? Do you want to believe Urban Meyer? I definitely don't want to believe Zach Smith. It's hard. It's hard to not believe Courtney Smith because of looking at Zach Smith and hearing what he has to say. Of course, he was in denial of the whole thing in 2015 and was in the office of Coach Meyer, and they whether they were working together on it, or Zach Smith was trying to convince Coach to help him cover it up or help him deny it or help him do anything with regarding the allegations. I mean, obviously they did a good job keeping it in house because nothing came of it. And if the reports are true that they never talked to, they never had a conversation with Courtney Smith regarding the incident in 2015, the year that happened, they never talked to the accuser, then there's a problem. If those are true, I think that's the linchpin right there. If that was true in 2015, the linchpin of it, where if they never really even went to talk to her, I'm not saying it's Urban Meyer's fault. He could have pushed. He could have done everything he possibly did. And if Gene Smith didn't do what he needed to do, then it's a systematic issue, and it has to do with the administration at Ohio State. Maybe not as much the coach. So. I know Urban's the one that's in the public eye. Urban's the one that's that didn't fire Zach Smith back in 2009. He's the one that hired him again when he got hired at Ohio State in 2011. So, a lot of fingers point to him, but also he's not the only one probably that's involved in this, as Ohio State Athletic Department has their fingerprints all over this. I could just imagine. Come on. He's a football coach. He's not an investigator. He's not a PI. He's not a private investigator. He's a football coach. So I gave him a little bit of the benefit out for that. He has protocols that he follows, and if he says he followed them, then I'll believe him until I find out otherwise. And then you're looking at a systematic issue. Yeah, he could have had Zach Smith down his neck. Oh, please, coach, don't do this. Please, coach, help me out. Then what? We got to find out what he did. Did he help him out or did he not? We'll find out in those 2 weeks. All right, I think I'm going to go off the Urban Meyer stuff. We have some other stuff to talk about. I have to go continue on my – we didn't finish up the coaches poll. The first coaches poll came out last week, and we went through the first five teams, I think. And then also ESPN likes to give us their power rankings of the top 50 college players in the country. So we'll go over those and give you my comments on their rankings. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast, the college football edition of the show today, as we were talking Urban Meyer for the first half of the show today, of course, as we that's what's going on, unfortunately, that's what we got to deal with right now. But we're going to go into the best college players in the world, best 50 college football players in the nation, as we're going to go through and talk about what's going on throughout the throughout college football, as well as the power rankings for the preseason coaches poll that came out last week, as we went through the first few teams on there, and then we'll continue talking about that throughout the show. So everybody get ready, as we're going to go through let's start with the top players in college football, as we'd like to get to. I'll get to these, or we're gonna start with the college, or we're gonna start with the coaches poll. I know we started with the coaches poll already, but let's finish off the coaches poll here, as I'm pulling up my poll here in the rankings. So, at least the top 25. So I mean, you got obviously we had Alabama number one. They had a bunch of most of the first place votes, the 61 first place votes. As they open up against Louisville on September 1st, that's at the Camping World Stadium in Orlando. Clemson number two, so they get the ACC champion in there. Of course, defense is their prowess. Their defense, though, they have Kelly Bryant, who's pretty, 12 wins last year as a starter in his first year. So, I mean, but you got obviously Trevor Lawrence looking right over your shoulder, so you better perform this year or you're going to be out of a job pretty soon. Ohio State's at three, Georgia's at four, Of course, they open up against, so they have a couple different teams opening against one of the cupcake schools. So we have Alabama against Louisville. That'll be an interesting game. They're going to have any problems, but it'll be an interesting game. Clemson's opening against Furman. Austin Peay is the opener for Georgia. That should be a bloodbath. And then, of course, now here's number five. Number five is Oklahoma, as they get Kyler Murray, even though Rodney Anderson is probably the most exciting player for me, because Kyler for me is like nail biting. Okay, don't f up your knee. Don't make your leg. Don't do anything. Don't get a concussion. Please stay healthy. Please. That's like I'm like wrap him in bubble wrap, baby. Wrap him in bubble wrap, please, because that's a $7 million man right there. I mean, if you're Kyler Murray, and what is he, 19, 20 years old, and you just signed this deal with the Oakland A's, and you're going to go fulfill, I'm doing air quotes while I say this, fulfill your commitment or whatever he says, or fulfill your promise to the university. Yeah, I'd wave that big check in their face and say, here's your promise, folks. I'm sorry. I played too good on your baseball team that I walked onto and became your starting center fielder and cleanup hitter. So, yeah, there you go. just like, sorry, Coach Riley, find some, you have other players. But, you know, it is what it is. But you want to be the replacement to Baker Mayfield, wrap myself in bubble wrap and go at it. Because the thing is, if you're Billy Beane, the Oakland A's general manager, or actually I think he's the vice president of baseball operations these days, getting a promotion, and they have a different general manager now. But they're both going to be like nail biting every Saturday, every Oklahoma game, nail biting, because that's their first round pick. That's a lot of money, and that's a lot of money. That's in the bank, baby. That's in the bank. There's no going back. That's a signing bonus. That's a bonus. That's a check. Here you go. That's your slot. You were picked in this position. They didn't have to pick him there. I mean, he probably would have been picked by somebody else because he's that good. He's that talented. The thing is, his body size is meant for, he's going to be a baseball player. He's not playing NFL. He doesn't have NFL size. He has MLB, everything. He's got speed. He could hit for average. He's got a glove. He's got an arm because he's a quarterback. I would assume he has an arm, good arm. And then he can hit for power. He had 10 home runs this season for Oklahoma. So, I mean, why not? So, I mean, the guy's got, if you got good bat speed, you can hit the ball pretty far. I mean, look at Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is not some big burly dude. He's an outfielder for the Boston Red Sox, and he hits dingers. He hits jacks. And that could be, I mean, they say, Mookie Betts, Andrew McCutchen is the comparison. I mean, that was Thomas is the college football show, but we're talking about Kyler Murray here, so I'm going to reserve the right to go into the baseball talk a little bit here, because that's baseball is probably my favorite sport of, if I was to pick one. Football is very, very close, but I played baseball. I was a baseball player for a very long time, so I'm a pretty bit of a nerd. But, you know, going into it on, you know, Kyler Murray, you have all these great comparisons. You could have this great career in MLB, and I'm going to be Johnny Raincloud every Saturday. You better don't get hurt. Don't land on your knee wrong. I mean, you saw what happened to Carson Wentz last year. All it takes is one little false step and your knee buckles, and that's it. You're a year away. I mean, fortunately for him, he's young. And when you're young, you tend to bounce back from injury a lot easier. But you've seen a lot of guys get knee injuries, and they don't come back. They don't. It sucks. You look at, I'm not going to bring up any names because it sucks. We don't want to, it's bad juju. We're going to go back. But, you know, it is what it is with Kyler Murray at Oklahoma. And I was speculated on the fact that Lincoln Riley might be getting a phone call here and there from the A's organization saying, hey, coach, can you less run pass options? How about just drop backs? Just straight drop backs. Get the ball out of my buddy's hand. Or maybe run, you know that kid Rodney Anderson on your team? He's pretty good. You should hand him the ball more often. Yeah, you should run the ball a lot more, baby. Come on, help us out. Don't let this kid get hurt, please. That's the thing. They play in the Big 12, so I think he'll be just fine. There's not many. I mean, if you played in the ACC or the SEC or the Big 10, I'd be like, maybe even the Pac-12. Maybe not the ACC. If we played in the Big 10, Pac-12, or SEC, I'd be like, The only team you really have to worry about in the ACC is Clemson defensively. I mean, when it comes to like rushing the quarterback, Miami, they're more of a second. Their strength is in the secondary. Obviously, that turnover chain is the thing. But, you know. All right. I talked for 10 minutes. The segment's just flying by here. All right, so the five is Oklahoma. They're opening up against Florida Atlantic. That's on September 1st as well as, you know, they got a defense that needs to improve. Their offense is probably is going to be just fine. Kyler is great. He's a speed demon. And then so is Rodney Anderson. But, you know, it's going to be the defense that needs to step up. All right. Washington's at 6 as they are the class of the Big 12 or the Pac 12. I'm sorry, Pac 12. I mean, my Stanford Cardinal might have to get their stuff together. They're down at, I think we'll find them eventually. I think they're like 14. So Washington's number in this coaching poll. This, you know, number 6 in the coaches poll, and then also you have you know, their outlook for this year is going to be Myles Gaskins, Jake Browning. Jake's in his last year. Myles Gaskins is going to be, I mean, chomping on the bit. I think this might be his last year as well. But when you have a running back quarterback tandem like that, you're going to be, I think you're going to be just fine as well, as they're going to open up against Auburn. Number 10 Auburn will be their opener in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on ABC on September 1st. So make sure you tune into that for sure. But then, of course, that Auburn game is going to be the linchpin of the season. And it's going to be the first. It sucked. I mean, it doesn't suck. It's exciting having it be the first game where you can make your season right there. I mean, you get a win there, you could start going on a roll and maybe find yourself in the college football playoff at the end of the year. Number 7, Wisconsin. Even though I think they're going to struggle this year because of their schedule, I kind of have a tendency where the Big Ten West, whoever has the easiest schedule, is going to be able to get through there and get to the conference championship game. Wisconsin might be a more talented team than Iowa, but Iowa has a much easier schedule. And they should be able to walk through that schedule. And if they don't, then they could just be like they could just pull in Iowa and not do that. So I mean, how many times have we gone over the schedule before? So let me give you a quick little rundown again of this Iowa schedule and how much of a joke it is. They have that one road game at Penn State. That's basically it. Their other road games are Indiana, Minnesota. Indiana, Minnesota, Purdue, and Illinois. That's it. They have 4 road games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 road games. 5 road games. Minnesota, Indiana, Penn State, Purdue, and Illinois. They might lose. They'll probably lose the Penn State game, but that's it. Everything else is at home. They have Nebraska at home at the end of the season. They have Maryland at home. They have Wisconsin at home. That may be a tough one. That's basically the winner of that game, I bet you, wins the West. And then they have Iowa State, Northern Iowa, and Northern Illinois. So it's nothing. They have no Michigan team, no Ohio State. Basically, it's that Penn State team. Penn State team, maybe they lose to that one. But if you beat, eventually, I told you, if you beat Wisconsin at home, you should be able to go through one loss and win that division. So that's just going off their schedule. I told you, they might not be the most talented team in that one. Wisconsin's 7th in the coaches poll right now. So hopefully maybe they'll just blow them out of the water anyways. But even if Iowa doesn't beat Wisconsin, they have 2 losses on the season. So say they lose to Penn State, lose to Wisconsin, win everything else. They have 2 losses. Well, let's look at the Wisconsin schedule. I think Wisconsin has a couple more than 2 losses on the schedule. At least, this is the one we looked at. I mean, I should memorize this by now. But I mean, they have to go to Michigan. They have to go to Northwestern. That's not an easy task. They have to go to Penn State. They have to play BYU at home. That's gonna be an interesting little game. Nebraska at home. They actually don't play. They don't play Ohio State either, and they don't play Michigan State either. But I mean, they have to go to Penn State. They have to go to Michigan, and have to go to Northwestern. Those all could be losses right there. All of them. But I mean, if they get a win. And if they win one of them, if they win 2 of those, they should be fine, and they'll win the division. So I mean, yeah, Wisconsin, they're number 10. They're number 7 for a reason. So I mean, the guy Jonathan Taylor is pretty darn talented, and Alex Hornibrook is definitely, I mean, passable. I guess he's a game manager. He's not going to do anything special for you. Number 8 is going to be Miami as they come in. Of course, Malik Rozier is going to be the linchpin of this whole season. The defense, I think, will be just fine. They'll have the turnover chain rocking and getting those turnovers. But if Malik Rozier can just protect the ball and be efficient in his passing and also use his legs, they should be just fine. As they have a good little core there in Miami. This is the year where they're supposed to pop. As they have a test early in the year, first game LSU, at a neutral field at Cowboy Stadium or AT&T Stadium in Arlington. That'll be a fun one on September 2nd. So they'll wrap it up for this segment. We'll come back and I'm going to finish off the top 15 of the of these coaching rankings, and then we'll go into the top player rankings on the back end of the segment. So everybody, stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the day today on the GSMC Football Podcast, the college football edition for you as we are going through the coaches poll, the first coaches poll that came out a couple days ago last week as we talked about Miami. Penn State's number 9 right now as they lose Saquon and then 3 of their top 4 receivers gone as well. However, they still have Trace McSorley. And they still have a very good veteran offensive line. So whether they're going to make a run, I think their schedule kind of is set up where they have the home game. They need to win their home games, basically. Obviously, in college, you need to win all your games, pretty much. Peering at their schedule here, they open up against Appalachian State at home. Then they have the in-state rivalry at Pittsburgh. Then they have Ohio State at home, Michigan State at home, Iowa at home. Their tough road games are going to be just at Michigan, it looks like. And at Pittsburgh probably will be a bit of a test as well. So, yeah, I'm saying their home games are going to be tough. They have tough home games this year. Fortunately for them, they have Iowa at home, Wisconsin at home, Michigan State at home, Ohio State at home. And that's that. I mean, as far as their Big Ten schedule goes, that's pretty much it for their home games. So they're all big home games. Their one easier one at the end of the year is in Maryland at home. But their road games at Rutgers, at Michigan will be a test. At Indiana should be fine. At Illinois should be fine as well. So they, like I said, all their home games are going to be tests this year. And the fortunate thing is that you're going to do it at home. So you're going to do it in front of your fans. You're going to do it in front of that massive frenzy of people that come and fill up that stadium, Beaver Stadium there at I always forget what they're because there's College Station, the University Park, and then there's College Park, right? No, College Park is Maryland or University Park. I don't remember. I know it's State College. There it is. State College, Pennsylvania. That's what it's called. There you go. State College, Pennsylvania, and then Beaver Stadium, of course, is gigantic. If you can guess how many people Beaver Stadium holds, think of it, probably think higher, unless of course you know how much it holds. It's large. It's quite large. I think it's over 100,000 people. Yeah, it's 106,572 actually. And the record attendance was last year 110,000, almost 111,000 people if you round up a little bit. 111,000. Wow. In one stadium, yeah, but it's good. Time out. University Park is Penn State. Wow. So what state college then? Is that a different town? See, State College, Pennsylvania is a thing too. Am I losing it here? I'm losing it. See, State College is a college town dominated economically and demographically by the presence of the University Park campus. Okay, I'm right. I was right, kind of. I like to be... Sorry, random little tangent there. Penn State, just... I thought I was wrong, but then I was right. I'm like, wrong again. Nope. All right. Penn State, number 9. Number 10 is... Where are we going? Number 10 is going to be Auburn at number 10. I like Auburn this year. I liked Auburn last year. They got snubbed. It is what it is. Not going to go into it and whine about it. Alabama probably did deserve to do that. Obviously, their big test is going to come down to the trips to Georgia and then also to Tuscaloosa to face Alabama at the Iron Bowl at the end of the year. So that's that. There you go. There, Jared Stidham obviously coming off the shoulder surgery is going to be should be just fine and nice and comfortable in his second year as the starter. Number 11 is Notre Dame, as their obviously big game is going to be the opener September 1st against Michigan. That's going to be a fun one. So they're going to face Michigan, and it'll be a test. Obviously, I think the winner of that one will have a major boost going through the rest of the season. 12 is Michigan State, as they are kind of the little brother always, but they obviously have a good little team this year. As their schedule this year is interesting. Like I said, they do travel to Penn State. They open up against Utah State, so it shouldn't be too tough of an opener there. I mean, compared to the other team in Michigan opening up against. Opening up against Notre Dame, but this is going to be an interesting year. Obviously, this is the seniors going to be leading this team and coming off of a off season that had a lot of weird off the field, not weird, but just unfortunate off the field stuff that they had to deal with. I mean, they brought it on themselves. We know that it was not a good story to have around your school, but they did deal with it and they have to go into the season regardless. So they open up against Utah State and they have Arizona State in a Big Ten Pac-12 matchup. And they start Big 12 play with they're at Indiana. They do have Northwestern at home. They go to Penn State. They get Michigan at home this year. They get Ohio State at home this year. Then their other test on the road is going to be at Nebraska. So honestly, this schedule is not that difficult. They have the two tough games are going to be at home, Michigan and Ohio State. And then they do play Nebraska on the road, and they play Penn State on the road, but everything else is at home. So, I mean, their road games are going to be Maryland and Indiana. That's about it. So, yeah, that's not that difficult at all. But it's going to stay good for a big year this year. Number 13 is Stanford, as they are the next Pac-12 team I've gotten to, as they're down here at 13. Bryce Love, obviously, going to be the linchpin to the season, as they coming off a season where they didn't really like how it ended up, they losing to San Diego State, then losing to USC, then losing to USC again in the Pac-12 championship game, and then losing again to the TCU in that weird kind of blowout bowl game, went back and forth. They had a big lead and then they just let it go. It is what it is in the bowl games. But Bryce Love is coming back. KJ Costello has four of his top receivers back. They got Caden Smith as one of those guys, and they should be ready to go. Watch out for Bryce Love and the play action. This is the defense is pretty much the question. Is expected to do better than last year, though, as they look to get back into the top fray of the Pac-12 and of this whole college football world. And then rounding out the top 15 are two massive programs. 14 is Michigan, as they, of course, open up against Notre Dame. And then 15 is USC, as their coaches. They actually shot up a little bit, I think, in the coaches poll. Their previous rank was 10, but that was coming off last season. But, I mean, in the power rankings, they were down a little bit because of the quarterback situation. But now it looks like, I mean... Is JT Daniels going to be the guy? He's a true freshman. He's like a true freshman because he should be a senior coming in this year, age-wise and schooling-wise. But looking at his highlights, the kid looked like a senior last year. Go watch his highlights from Matter Day. He's got it all. He's got the legs. He can move around in the pocket. He can throw on the run. He can run an offense with the playbook. I mean, he's got it all. He's ready to go. And Yeah, I would not be shocked if he gets the starting job there for USC. They also have a couple big dudes on defense. Defensive lineman Christian Rector and linebacker Cameron Smith will definitely be guys to watch for on defensive side as they do lose Sam Darnold. But like I said, JT Daniels is right there, ready to go. And then the 16 through 20, TCU's at 16, Virginia Tech's at 17. They could surprise some people this year. Mississippi State at 18, Florida State at 19, and then number 20 is West Virginia, as I think they're going to be shooting up the list pretty soon here because West Virginia is darn good, especially their offense coming into the season. All right, now looking at the stuff from ESPN, I mean, and their rankings of these of the college players, top 50 college players in the country. Number one comes in as actually a guy that we haven't talked about that much. That's Ed Oliver, the defensive lineman at Houston. As he's going to be a big draft pick. He's the a tackle. He's a junior this year. As he's number one on the big board for next year's draft, of course. As he's pretty much unblockable and could definitely be replicate what Ndamukong Suh last year. Coming off of a Heisman voting, and then also being the number one pick in the draft. So, we could definitely see him doing that. Number two, Bryce Love at Stanford is, of course, last year, the 2,100 rushing yards jumps out at you. And if he could replace, this is when he did it. But he missed the game, number one. And he also had games where he played hurt. So, hopefully a whole offseason of recovery and everything that you have to do. And he could be doing something else where he could run for 2,000 yards again. And maybe it'd be the third running back to win the Heisman Trophy in the last decade or so. As we've seen a bunch of quarterbacks, only two running backs were Trent Richardson and Mark Ingram. Or actually, no, Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry? I don't think it was Trent Richardson. It was Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry. All right. I mean, yeah, of course, he's going to win that Herschel Walker Award again this year. Of course, hopefully if you can win Heisman, yeah, you can be the runner up. You were the runner up last year. You win it this year, you pull a Herschel Walker, you do just fine. Number three is actually the first quarterback on the list, and it's Will Grier. And Will Grier should probably be the best quarterback, is going to be the best quarterback in the country this year, because he's had the most time to get ready for it. I mean, obviously, he was at Florida, then leaves Florida, gets the suspension because of the PED usage, and then comes out and comes to West Virginia now and goes and throws for almost about 3,500 yards last year Dana Holgerson's offense out there in Morgantown. So looking for him to do it again this year. The Big 12 is just begging to be shredded apart. So go do that and be a good player. Get your West Virginia team up from the 20th ranking, maybe up a little higher. Number four is Christian Wilkins, as he is the guy who did not leave last year. He would have been one of the top draft picks if he decided to come out of the draft last year. But he decided to stay in that with that core. They have a Clemson, and obviously coming off how the year ended for them last year, you could expect him to do so because of the bad taste in your mouth that could happen after losing that game to Alabama in the semifinal. But there's just so much talent on the defensive roster on both sides of the ball, actually, for Clemson, as they could be a team that could just really run the table and run away with it, run away with the ACC this year easily, especially if Kelly Bryant plays well. And then again, if he doesn't, you have Trevor Lawrence and see what he could do coming into the season. But their defense is the heart and soul of that team. And then the leader on that defense is Christian Wilkins, as he's going to be leading some very, very talented younger defensive linemen as well in that team. And here's one of them. His name is Dexter Lawrence. And he's going to be playing alongside of Christian Wilkins there. So it's nice for Clemson to have the number four and number five top player in the whole country, according to these power rankings. And they both play on your defensive line. So ACC quarterbacks, watch out, because you're going to be running for your lives. Number six is Nick Bosa. That's Joey Bosa's brother, and he's at Ohio State as well. He's a junior, had 8.5 sacks last year. And then we'll look at it as looking obviously at his brother, seeing he got picked, what was he, third overall last year. Nick Bosa will be just as good as he's defensive end. Great top pass rusher, and will look to definitely improve his stock as he's going to be probably coming out at the end of the year into the draft. Number seven is Jonathan Taylor, as he's at Wisconsin. Number eight, Rashawn Gary, the defensive lineman at Michigan. Nine, Trace McSorley, the quarterback, Penn State. And then actually another quarterback, as there's three quarterbacks ahead of Tua Tagovailoa. Number 10 is Jarrett Stidham at Auburn. And then obviously there's Tua at number 11, your quarterback. So you have four quarterbacks, and it goes Will Grier, Trace McSorley, Jarrett Stidham, and Tua Tagovailoa in your top 11. There actually is two more in the top 15. Justin Herbert at Oregon is 14, and Jake Browning at 15 is your quarterback for Washington. So that's how rounds out your top 15. We're going to go, and I'll give you my comments on those guys on Wednesday when we come back. So I got to cut it off here at the end of the show. So we'll come back on Wednesday and do some more talk on this list, as well as any more news coming out from Urban Meyer and Ohio State, and whatever may have you as we come back on Wednesday. Everybody have a good Monday and Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again Wednesday. So talk to you later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.